Imagine, if you will, for one moment, that you've been using the podcasts on Perek Shirah to fully focus on what each aspect of creation sings out to Hashem. And you've listened to four, hopefully, impassioned podcasts on the subject of the stars. And you say, okay, I'm going to drive somewhere to a dark sky part of the United Kingdom. Other countries are also available, possibly. And you drive out there, you've set your time, you know exactly, you go out there to look at the stars, to say Atahu Hashem Elokim and be amazed and blown away by the song that the stars say, and it's cloudy. What do? Is that it? You pack up and you go home? Or no, do you realize the clouds themselves have a song to sing? And this we already harked back to on one occasion when we spoke about Aaron HaKohen back during the Omer. But what is it that the clouds say? The clouds say the following, Yoshes Choshech Sisroi, Svivoisov Sukosoi. He conceals himself with darkness. Surrounding him is his shelter. Cheshchas Mayim, the darkness of the water, Ovei Shechokim, the thick clouds of heaven. That's what the clouds say. So the clouds which can cover up the light, cover up the stars and the sun, seem to be something which exude darkness rather than light, exude negativity rather than positivity. But we all know, not just from things that we've maybe heard before on these shiurim, but we know the concept of a cloud having a silver lining. We know that the clouds bring rain. It's true that there is, as with everything else, a positive and a negative potential. It happens to be that when you're talking about the clouds, when you're talking about the brightness of the sun and of the day, it often seems much more heavily negative than positive. And in the month of Av, and that's Av with an Aleph as opposed to Av with an Ayin, which means a thick cloud, we wonder the question which we asked: how can the saddest month of the year be called Av, which means father? And not only that, as my Rebbe Reb Moshe pointed out, if we understand that Katantan in Ivrit, we say, means very little. So Aviv, the month of Nisan, the springtime, is a little Av, which tells you that Av itself is the greater Geula, the greater redemption. And yet somehow we find ourselves in the thick darkness, the thick cloud of what Golus is. We already know part of the answer because we know we were also protected by the very same clouds that should be blocking out and do block out the sun, but blocked out the harmful rays of the sun for the Jewish people in the wilderness. But nevertheless, there is this cloud hanging over us, and we need to try and understand this. And I want to look at a particular cloud that hung over us and hangs over us until today because of a very well-known story. And that's the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. The Talmud, that's the Gemara in Gittin, Nunheo and Aleph, tells us that Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So there was this guy who, interestingly enough, is the one who remains anonymous, who was friendly with Kamsa, but his enemy was Bar Kamsa. And he was making a big party, whatever that party was, and he sent his servants to invite Kamsa, his friend. Whoops, he makes a mistake and invites Bar Kamsa. The host comes and sees Bar Kamsa, though maybe has come in and thought that there was reconciliation here. He's so annoyed. He says, get out now. Bar Kamsa says, please, please, can I just like chill? Can I just stay? Don't make a scene. The host says, absolutely not. Bar Kamsa says, listen, I'll pay for my meal. Just please don't make a big deal. The host says, no, I'll pay for half the party. I'll pay for the whole party. Absolutely not. The host was willing to forego the potential to have Bar Kamsa pay for everything, and that's it. And Bar Kamsa says that nobody said a thing, and apparently there were some very important people, possibly some Rabbonim there as well, attending the party, and nobody said anything to defend me. They're all responsible. because of my embarrassment. He went to Caesar, slandered the Jewish people, claiming that the Jewish people had rebelled against him, which eventually led to the siege of Yerushalayim and its destruction. Now, what's actually, there's a lot of questions and we won't manage to answer all of them now, but why does the Gemara say that the destruction of Yerushalayim was because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa? What did Kamsa do? Especially because Kamsa's name comes before Bar Kamsa. What did he do? According to the Maharshal, Bar Kamsa was the son of Kamsa, father and son. How crazy! Kamsa was the host's best friend, or a very good friend, and his son, Bar Kamsa, was his enemy, which is madness. How can that possibly be? Reb Yitzchok Hirschfeld, I saw on a Chappelle's daf, quotes Rav Ari Tzvi Fruma, who was the Rav of Kozhelov and a Rosh Hashiva of Chachmei Lublin. He says, the love that Kamsa had for the host was superficial. He showed signs of friendship towards the host. Externally, it looked as though he's friendly with him, but inside, nah, not really. He was two-faced. There was flattery, chanifas. He acted nicely towards him, but he didn't really like him. A son, we know, a son is meant to reflect the father, the essence of the father. Kamsa's son, Bar Kamsa, he sensed the true nature of this relationship, and so his own connection with the host did not have the flattery, and he just became a hated person, his enemy. And that led to the destruction. Second idea that I heard was that actually, and I heard this, I think, in the name of Reb Leib Scheinbaum, Reb I. Leib Scheinbaum of Cleveland, he says that the very fact that his father, Kamsa, may have presented himself as a righteous tzaddik, it was a fake. And his son, a bit like the other answer, was revealing the real truth about his father. His son, Bar Kamsa, could not have done that if his father would have been so great. And in fact, he brings a parallel story in Sukkah, Nun Vav Amud Beis, which talks about a famous family called Bilgar, whose metal hoop or loop was nailed to the ground and given a big fine because of what happened with one of the members. There was a girl there called Miriam, the daughter of Bilgar, who apostatized and married a Greek prince. When the Greeks came into the Mikdash, she took sandal off her foot, what she was doing with it on in the first place, on Har HaBayis is its own question. She banged it on the altar and shouted, "Lucas, Lucas," which is Greek for wolf. How long will you eat up the money of the Jewish people, but you don't stand up to protect them when they're in need? She meant to say that the Mizbeach, as Hashem's representative, was taking all their money through the Korbanos, but didn't protect them from the Greeks. But because of this chutzpah, her father and the whole family was punished. Why? So the Gemara explains that a child will tell you in public what they hear at home. That must have been what happened, and the whole family is indicted for their actions. Indeed, a wolf in sheep's clothing. A cloud can conceal to be positive or to be negative. It's up to you what you are going to say behind closed doors. Are you going to make sure that you are exactly the same as you are in public behind closed doors, which is much harder? And to be upright, and to be gentle, and to speak nicely, and to not say those Lashon Hara things and those things which cause the destruction in the first place. And then, when your children are out and about, that's what they will reveal. They will reveal that actually your house is a house of warmth and positivity. Or do you want to run the risk of the opposite? Now, that's not to say that you don't have children who can be negative if things are great at home. Absolutely true. But by the same token, there is a much higher probability of those children emulating the positive ways of their close ones, their relatives at home, if what they hear at home is truly positive.